Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today. So let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and I just love talking to creative people. They are amazing, and they inspire me to do better and to do more. I have to share this little story about Michelle, who is our first guest, Michelle Muska. She, hi, how are you? I'm so glad you're here.
Oh, I am too. I'm very excited. Thanks for having me on.
You know, I want to tell people that, you know, you are such an inspiration to so many because you work hard to promote, you know, not only your own work, but the work of so many other designers. And I want to thank you for that.
Oh, you're very welcome. I actually, you know, pride myself in trying to give other people opportunities, either opportunities that I can't, you know, fulfill, or I think that it's better suited for someone. And, you know, it's really all about sharing. And I think we work in such a great, you know, type of art and community that it just lends itself to that. So I'm happy to do it. It makes me feel good.
Yeah, and then, you know, it makes all of us just feel amazing to work with you. You put together a book, Michelle, that, it's so nice. And I had a chance to make a quilt for you. I was so excited.
And I was very excited that you said yes. I was a little nervous when I was asking people to be in the book. It's called Quilting the New Classics. And I invited 19 other designers beside myself. So, you know, and the response was just amazing. Everybody was so generous and helping me with their time. Because, you know, making a quilt for a book is for yourself or for someone else. It's really a labor of love. And I really appreciate you being in it and everyone else. So, and I think you gave it a really nice eclectic feel. And that's pretty much what I'm like as an artist. So
yeah.
I think it really lent to the whole flavor of the book.
Now, I want to explain the book a little bit, and then we'll talk about it some more.
Okay.
It's called Quilting the New Classics. There's 20 inspired quilt projects. And what it is Michelle, you took like a category of a quilt, and then you asked two different quilt makers to use their style, which are basically sort of more traditional and sort of more contemporary or more modern versions.
Correct.
How did you come up with that idea?
Well, I think it was about 4 or 5 years ago, I was at the Salt Lake City quilt market, and Darlene Zimmerman, who is also in the book, is also a licensee for the company I work for, which is DC Quilting by Simplicity Creative Group. And it was a time I noticed when, you know, the modern movement was really becoming prominent and people were talking about it. And I think some of the traditional quilters were a little bit unsure and what this really was and where everybody was kind of where they fit in. And I was friendly with some of the gals in the Salt Lake Modern Quilt Guild. And they were coming to the show and I said, would you like to meet Darlene and, you know, see what she does and maybe she can, you know, help you with, you know, some of her methods and techniques with her tools and templates. And they were like thrilled and they all knew about, most of them already knew about Darlene and had some of her tools. So I have to say, and Darlene, I'm sure won't mind me saying this, I brought her kind of kicking and screaming because she was like, oh, what if you want to see what I do? I'm so traditional. I don't think I can help them. And I was like, oh, no. You can certainly help them. You know, a lot of these women, these young women, had to learn on YouTube how to sew and how to quilt. And I think they'll just, like, eat up any kind of, you know, help that you can give them. I said, you know, Darlene, just because not all their points match, that's sometimes intentional, but they might want their points to match, and
right.
I can help them with that, you know? So we went, and I had, there was like 20, you know, quilters there, and she came over, and she started showing them, like, some of her triangles and her double wedding ring template, and the look on their faces was just like, oh, my God, you mean it's that easy? Like,
right.
I've been struggling. It's like, yeah, you know, you ladies don't really have to reinvent the wheel. You know, Darlene has already done it for you. She has figured out the math, and she's willing to share all her techniques. And I then kind of realized that, you know, we're really all not that far apart, you know.
Right.
We love fabric. We love quilts, whether it's traditional or modern. I think as years go by now, I see that there's kind of a blending in the middle. I think there's a kind of a new category, like contemporary traditionalism, that's in the middle. And I think that, you know, even back then I was like, gee, I'd like to write an article about this. You know, the groups don't have to be afraid of each other. We're all here to help and, you know, lend a hand and, you know, celebrate everybody's creativity. So it was kind of, you know, in the back of my mind for quite a few years. And then I had the opportunity to write a book for Six in Spring. So that's kind of how it all happened.
Now, what I really like is, besides the fact that you went out and, you know, from all these different quilt makers that you have met and you've worked with, you selected this team for the mm-hmm. book, but you also put in a section before each topic. Like, I'm the log cabin.
Right.
So, and I'm with Jackie Garrick, who does her totally modern version of a log cabin.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I have a more traditional version, but you also, in the beginning, you brought in an inspiration chapter and you showed antique quilts. What was your process to sort of pull that all together?
Well, I think that, and most of us do, and I know mm-hmm. you do, like, we really love all quilts.
I know.
You know, I mean, for me, I might not love every quilt I see, but I love the care and the thought and the time and the work it went into making these quilts. And I've become very, you know, attached historically to these quilts, especially since I'm on the board of the Quilt Alliance. And mm-hmm. we really, you know, our mission is to make sure quilts are not anonymous. And I think it was really important to show kind of where the patterns really evolved and came from. Mm-hmm. So some of the quilts are from friends' collections. Some are from several museums I worked with. A couple of them are from my own collection. And I talk a little bit about, you know, where the pattern kind of evolved and came from. And it was just kind of to give people an opportunity to see where it all kind of started. And sometimes when you look at the antique and vintage quilts, they look very contemporary. Their color choices are quite bold. You know, and even I think when I was doing research, say for the nine patch, traditional and modern, mm-hmm. Some of the older quilts, I was like shocked when I would see the date, like 1850, mm-hmm. 1875. They were so bold and contemporary. And it was just like really like, well, are we really doing everything new? I mean, we're really, you know, like these women were so innovative all the way back then, and they had so little tools to work with. And so I'm just enamored with, you know, what the designers and quilters did before us. And I just wanted to kind of share that.
You know, I really think that you did a fabulous job of that, because people, there's all different styles of antique quilts. Like mm-hmm. if you pick a hexagon, there's like a zillion ways to show
right.
a hexagon from day one. And so you have a really nice selection of those. And many of the quilts that you selected for the book have so many variations. Do you have, now I know that you picked the yo-yo for your personal
right.
quilt that you made. So why do you have a connection to that?
Well, a couple of reasons. First of all, I adore yo-yos, and I like the whole thought of why women kind of, you know, were really used yo-yos in the 30s and 40s. I mean, they mm-hmm. kind of used it as a way to use up their, you know, excess fabric. They mm-hmm. were going out into the world, like taking on some, you know, work outside of the home, or and bringing, you know, their children to doctor's appointments and things. And they always still felt they should be doing some handwork. They felt like that kind of still kept them as a connection to their home life, even though they were out of the home a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And I just think that I still feel like that. And many of us quilters still have some little handwork they bring along in their bag or their tote bag always. It seems like something that keeps mm-hmm. us happy and satisfied or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've been making yo-yos for quite a long time. I make them out of velvet and silk, and I stuff them and I tuft them and I bead them, because I'm also an art quilter.
Mm-hmm.
And I make fiber jewelry. You can see that on my website. And I make handbags. And I just like something about them, I just like love them. And furthermore, I didn't think I could get anybody to make the traditional yo-yo because I knew there was a lot of them. And I was like, oh my God, it's going to be very time consuming. So I just said from the beginning, I have this connection to yo-yos and I'm going to do it. So my son, Logan, he actually cut all the circles out for me. There's like 300 and something circles. And he cut all the 5-inch circles, and I used all these like 27 different cone of solids. And I have to say, I don't normally plan out my quilt, Pat. I'm usually I'm more of a process artist. I do things as they go along. But for this particular quilt, I really felt it was more of an homage to, you know, the quilters in the past, and they planned out their little patterns, you know, of maybe there'd be a solid group that formed a flower in the middle of prints, or they did rows of solids. And so it was quite an undertaking for me with 27 colors, and some of them were very close together. I mean, I like numbered the bags and put them in little bags, and they went everywhere with me one summer, to the beach, to, you know, wherever I went, because it was just like, oh my gosh, how am I going to get this all finished? And then I appliqué them together quite traditionally. And then I did put them on a quilted solid background. And usually they did not quilt the background. Often they were appliqué onto a solid. And I did that more so for longevity of the quilt, so I could actually use it in the future. But it's really funny. A lot of people look at that chapter and they mistakenly take my quilt for the modern version. I kind of just smile because, you know, through all my research and looking at yo-yo quilts, like, I really truly interpreted it as, you know, as my nod to a traditional quilt. But I think because of the solid color palette, blues and grays, people kind of at first look at it as the modern version. So I think sometimes a modern traditional can be rather close.
It is very close. Yours is just amazing. And Michelle, you know what? We are out of time. I know. It just goes really quick. I am so happy to be included in your book, and people can find it now. They can order it, Quilting the New Classics. And give us your website. Yes.
My website is lolarae.com, LOLARAE. And they can also order the book on Amazon. So you can go to Amazon and write in my name, and you'll find it.
We'll find it. Well, thank you so much, Michelle.
Oh, thanks for having me, Pat. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Okay. We'll be right back.
Choose from more than 100 of your favorite patterns from American Patchwork and Quilting, Quilts and More, and Quilt Sampler, all available online. Buy downloadable patterns today at apqshop.com.
This quilting tip brought to you by Moda Fabrics. Visit modafabrics.com or your local quilt shop to see the latest fabric collections. To store a matching spool and bobbin together, thread both onto a long pipe cleaner and twist the pipe cleaner ends together.
This is the TokiNet Radio Network, radio with a cutting edge.
Here's a special offer just for radio listeners. Get 2 full years of American Patchwork and Quilting delivered right to your door for less than half the cost on the newsstand. You won't miss an issue that's packed with never-before-seen projects from top designers, complete materials lists for all projects, and easy-to-use pull-out patterns and quilting diagrams. Subscribe today online, and you'll also get a free downloadable pattern. Check it out. Go to allpeoplequilt.com.
Follow American Patchwork and Quilting on Pinterest to find ideas for bags, baby projects, pillowcases, storage and organization, and more. Visit Pinterest.com/APQ magazine to join the fun.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and I would like to tell you that our show is sponsored by Moda Fabrics. You can go to modafabrics.com and find lots of information like free patterns and links to the Moda Bake Shop, and you can download digital images. So check it out. You know, the first time I saw my next guest quilts, I was just very drawn to them. Casey York is a quilter who works in a style that's very different than my personal quilts. But like Michelle and I talked, you know, we love all quilts. And I was really drawn to Casey's work. It's applique, which is, you know, my love. And it's also way more minimalist than my work is. And she has a new book out called Modern Applique Illusions. And so Casey is here to chat with me. Hi, Casey.
Hi, Pat. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm delighted to be talking with you.
Yeah, this is fun. We missed each other at the trade show, but I saw your quilts.
Great. Always good to hear.
Now, can you tell me a little bit about how you got involved with quilt making? You know, is it a recent thing? Have you been doing it forever? All right, we're having a little trouble there with Casey's connection, so we're going to just dial her back a minute so that we can, you know, get a better chat going here. Casey's quilts have a lot of clear space, and her applique is just gorgeous, really large shapes, very fun sort of images. She has them with fish, and she has them with trees. But what's really intriguing to me is how she goes about her illusions. Casey is an art historian, and, you know, she also does surface design, and that's, you know, kind of her main way that she works. That was her life before quilt making. So we're still trying to get Casey to get back on here so we can chat with her. Oh, there she is.
Here,
okay.
I'm so sorry about that. That's an internet phone for you.
Yep. No worries. Let's go ahead and talk a little bit about, because it was cutting out there, so we couldn't hear it so good. Tell me how, quilt making sort of changed the way you do things.
Well, I started out sewing garments, and I found that I liked quilt making a lot better than I liked making things in three dimensions. So after I made that first quilt for my son, I couldn't wait to get started on my next quilt project, and I didn't really take it up doing quilting all that frequently until I made a quilt for his big kid bed. Mm-hmm. And I brought that quilt to the Modern Quilt Guild in St. Louis, where I live, and somebody told me that they thought they would be an interest in buying patterns for it, and that's when I really got started, and now I make, you know, 20 quilts a year, so.
Wow. You know, that's really great confirmation when somebody wants to buy the design, isn't it?
Oh, it was fantastic. I mean, I have to thank them for everything, because I don't know that I'd be where I am right now if it hadn't been for their encouragement.
How do you go about designing your quilts? Because you use really nice large shapes, which is, I think, one of the things that attracts me, because I love large shapes because they show off the fabric. Do you sketch it on paper? You know, what do you do?
Well, I usually work in the computer. I taught myself how to use Adobe Illustrator, and I generally set up an Illustrator document that is the size that I want my finished quilt to be. And then I start drawing in the computer the shapes that I want to use. And then I can scale those shapes to fill up as much of that background area as I want, and then I can print them out and they'll be full size.
Perfect.
So it works. It's a really good method for me.
Now, let's talk about the book, because this is your first book, right?
Yes, it is.
So the part that's intriguing to me is the illusion part. Have you been fascinated with illusions for a while?
I have been. I actually write in the introduction to the book how I got interested in the illusion of three dimensions in drawing when I was about 6 years old, and my dad taught me how to draw these ribbons that looked like they were three-dimensional, even though they were actually two-dimensional.
Ah.
And I've been fascinated with different ways of showing dimension ever since then. So the book was incredibly fun to design the projects for, because I got to pull out all the stops in terms of what kinds of tricks and methods and techniques that I used.
Now, what I think, too, is that your book is great for somebody just starting out. You're not in there, you know, doing the Sistine Chapel or something. It's really right. You know, they're basic. I mean, you have like something as easy and as friendly as building blocks, like children's building blocks, like ABCs, you know, that's something everybody would be interested in using, up to beautiful landscapes where you're looking down this gorgeous waterway, like I would see like in France. It's just wonderful.
Thank you.
What inspired you with the actual projects? I mean, did you have a whole notebook of these first, or how did that work?
Well, I did. The way that the book came about actually was at the suggestion of my publisher, of my acquisitions editor at C&T, and she said they had seen my quilt Onwards, which won an award with the Modern Quilt Guild for one of their fabric challenges, and that quilt has the illusion of perspective in it. I used a one-point perspective system to give the illusion of depth, and they said they would be interested in a whole book that had quilts like that. So I had to come up with a couple of different ways of showing perspective and showing depth so that it didn't get too repetitive with all of the projects. And so it was kind of like a puzzle to figure out what different techniques can I use and how can I create a varied, you know, range of projects that will be suitable to all levels of quilter.
So do you have a personal favorite in here?
I really love the one that you put up on the website today, the Ripples quilt with the koi on it. I think that's my favorite. And it's actually one of the simplest quilts in the book to make. But I, definitely, when you see it in person, it's 50 by 70 inches, and it's really fun. So I'll go on.
How big are the koi on that one?
I would say they're a little bit bigger than a sheet of letter-sized paper. So they're about 14 inches long.
Now, how does one think about the illusion part? Because can you describe the koi? Because I think that's an easy one to describe.
Well, the koi was actually inspired by these paintings that I saw when I was on a trip to Hawaii with my husband. And they were paintings of fish that were seen from above, and then you could see the shadow of the fish on the ground underneath them, because the fish are floating in water, and so they're floating above that ground plane. And so the koi actually gives that illusion of depth just by using drop shadows. So it's as simple as that. It's a couple of appliques layered one on top of another to create that illusion.
And then they're shifted so that you see, and the colorations are important.
Yes, the color is very important for a lot of these quilts, because color really influences the way that we perceive depth, and color seems to fade as things get farther away from us. So color is very important.
Now, how do you plan that personally, the color? Because do you have a big stash, or do you go buy just for the project?
For this book, I bought just for the project. So I am starting to amass quite a stash of fabric. But for this one, and for any project, really, I love to go shopping for fabric. And so I love starting a new project because I get to pick out new materials to use.
Now, do you have a tip about that? Like, do you need to have tonal fabrics? I noticed that you don't actually use all tonals.
No, I use a lot of bright prints. The koi uses some really fabulous prints in different shades of orange. And one of the things I really like about applique is that you can have a very realistic silhouette. I draw all of my applique silhouettes from photographs. But then you can combine that realistic silhouette with this really abstract sense of having a secondary pattern that's the pattern on the fabric. And that's one of the things I actually really love. So I love using prints, and they don't necessarily have to be tonals. They can be really big, bold, bright prints as well.
That's good to know, because we all have, you know, I think a lot of prints. At least I do. I mean, oh, good. I can still use them. Your trees, the one with one of your tree quilts has a lot of prints in it too. So I can see that.
Yeah, I started using solids a little bit more with this book, and I kind of fell in love with using them, but prints are still kind of my first love when it comes to quilting, so.
You have a really interesting, or not so much interesting, but you have some feelings about inspiration and how people can get inspiration. Can you share that with me?
Oh, yeah, of course. Inspiration is one of my favorite things to talk about, because I think that we have this idea of inspiration as kind of a passive process, as something that kind of hits us or comes to us. And I really firmly believe that inspiration is more of an activity. I think that it's something that we go out and we look for. And so I see a lot of my design work as trying to find the solutions to challenges or puzzles. And so I'm constantly looking for solutions in my environment, and I constantly find them. And so I think really that if we approach inspiration as something that we're doing, that we're like we're actively looking for it all the time, that we can't really help but find it. So, and I believe that really strongly.
I think that that is incredible. It's very proactive, isn't it?
Yes. Well, and my background is in art history, so I can't walk through a museum without getting a million ideas of things that I have to go home and make immediately. And when you live with that kind of environment around you, or even just the natural environment, it's really hard when you're looking at it to not walk away with more inspiration than you could possibly use in a lifetime. So,
you know, Casey, we have like about, you know, less than a minute. Can you tell me the type of applique stitch that you like best to work with?
Well, I like to do something called embroidery finished applique. I do raw edge applique because I tend to use very complex silhouettes. But then I cover up the raw edges with a hand-embroidered chain stitch, which protects the edge. And that's actually something that I teach classes in, and it's covered in the book. But this is a process that I kind of experimented with and put a lot of things through the washer and dryer with a lot of resulting fraying to the appliques, and I found something that prevents that fraying, which I'm really happy about.
Oh, that's pretty cool. That's worth the price of the book.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
So I want to give everybody your website. It's casey-york.com, and her book, yes, and her book is called Modern Applique Illusions. Casey, this has been so much fun. I really want to try one of your quilts.
Oh, I hope you do. Thank you so much, Pat.
We'll be right back after the break.
Boost your sewing skills from start to finish with daily tips from the editors of American Patchwork and Quilting. Visit tips.allpeoplequilt.com for inspiration. This quilting tip brought to you by Moda Fabrics. Visit modafabrics.com or your local quilt shop to see the latest fabric collections. Set yourself up to stitch a little every day. When you finish stitching, before putting everything away, rethread your needle and take the first stitch. Then the next time you pull out your project, you'll be ready to sit down and start stitching. Make the most of your sewing machine by watching Machine Minute videos brought to you by Babylock. Learn about popular topics like tension troubles, stitch length, needles, buttonholes, zipper basics, and more. Watch these videos at allpeoplequilt.com/videos.
Take an ultimate shop hop tour of 11 top quilt shops. You'll find them all in the current issue of Quilt Sampler, available now at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
Hi, welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. I am Pat Sloan, and I am in Houston at the trade show, where I get a chance to meet a lot of different designers, and people come in from other countries. It's always a good opportunity for me to chat with them face-to-face. And Jane Davidson from Australia is here. You might know her as Quilt Jane. She's out on the internet making fabulous things, and she's going to talk to me. I'm so lucky. Hi, Jane.
Good morning, Pat.
I'm the one that's always telling Jane I need all of her quilts, like all of them. She should just send them to me. They're
I would
so
be
adorable.
Happy to.
Yeah, you didn't tell them I have to come to Australia to pick them up.
Yes, that's one of the provisos.
Yeah, one of the stipulations. Now, Jane, you've been quite busy lately. You're always making beautiful quilts, but you have a new book that you are the publisher, you're one of the authors, and it's a compilation.
Yes. About a year ago, I called on the assistance of seven other Australian designers I knew from blogging that I thought had a unique style, and asked them to send me a quilt. I have self-published this book through Amazon CreateSpace.
Oh, how cool.
Yes, so I have done everything.
Yeah.
I went out and got lessons in Illustrator, InDesign and Photoshop. I've done all the technical specs for this book. I've drawn all the illustrations.
It's gorgeous.
Gathered the ISBNs, done all the legal work.
Wow. That's, you've had quite an education then to publish. Now, what's the name of the book?
The name of the book is Desert to Sea, and the title is reflective of our countryside, Australia, we're mostly desert, and we've got a little bit of green around the edges, and then we have the sea.
And then you have the sea all around the edges. Great big island. Mm. Well, tell me, was there a theme when you asked them to send in a quilt?
Australians are very eclectic in their style. We love color. We love to do different quilts using as many fabrics as we can. And I just said, send me something that's unique to you. And they've all produced something that's close to their heart. Some like the geometric quilts, some like the more applique quilts. Ones use totally solids, others have used every fabric they could find in their stash.
Put it all in, everything but the kitchen sink. So why don't you explain to me a little bit about one of the quilts you did for the book?
I've done three, and one of my favorite was called Rock Pearls. I grew up on the Sydney coastline, and I did a piece Dresden, which reminded me of the little anemones that were in the pool.
Yeah.
And while the quilt looks complex, because when you first look at it, you see a tiny little thousand pieces everywhere, it's actually strip-pieced and overlaid by a Dresden template. Mm-hmm. So it's not as hard as you would first expect.
I was stunned when I looked at it because I was like, oh, that looks hard. And you're like, no, look here at the illustration. And really, your strip piecing is such a cool concept. Have you done that a lot, or was this the first time?
I had made this quilt before. Mm-hmm. I made it 2.5 years ago using a totally different colorway. But I do try to use strip piecing, chain piecing, or something in my quilts that you can repeat over and over again, because it does make our process simpler.
Now, with this particular Dresden, you have what looks like a regular Dresden, and then the strip piecing are like little diamonds, like they're scattered out. How do you get those lined up nicely with the ruler?
When you strip piece them, you bring them in on each end a certain amount, a few inches. So when you overlay a 30-degree ruler, the center of the ruler will go straight down the middle of the diamonds. You cut around it, fold it into your Dresden, and it works perfectly. It did take me a while to work out that concept.
Right. And you have a really nice then step-out illustration.
Yes, lots of illustrations to guide you.
Now, what are one of the quilt by somebody else in the book that's particularly, you know, striking or interesting or catches your eye?
Oh, they're all striking.
They are.
But one of them is a designer from the Blue Mountains in Sydney called Rachel Daisy.
Rachel Daisy, yes!
And Pat, you probably knew Rachel from the variation to the swimming block she did with the houses.
Yes, she has a really significant eye. Oh, you have photos in here with koala bears.
Yes. I said,
where did you go to take those? Okay,
Rachel's partner took them, and I said, run out and get me some photos with Australian animals. So she went to Australian Zoo out there, and she got emus and koalas for me with the quilt behind.
Yeah, with the quilt. Yes, there's a koala with a quilt. This will be the whole reason you buy the book.
That's right. Picture of the koala.
Right.
And Rachel's used a rainbow assortment of fabrics on a piece background. She's used the Suffolk poke, which you call the yo-yo, but she's lined.
And what do you call it again?
The Suffolk poke.
The Suffolk poke.
Yes.
I have not heard
from
that.
That's Suffolk in England. Yeah.
Okay. So, and do they call that there? I know I'm on a tangent.
In England as well.
Oh, okay. So we're the only ones who call them yo-yo.
Yes. Adapted. I've used the word yo-yo in the book.
Okay.
And she's put rickrack around each melon. So she's added a bit of dimension to her quilt.
And Rachel Daisy does that with the rickrack a lot. She uses a lot of rickrack.
She's just made a denim quilt as well, using bright fabrics and denim in the wedding ring quilts.
So how many quilts are in this book?
There's 10, seven designers and 10 quilts. Yeah. So it's a book designed for the maybe intermediate to advanced, but even as a beginner, it would be a lovely book just to browse through and aspire to.
And you have photos of the countryside, a few photos of Australia.
Yes, a few photos of Australia that we picked up, and it's I'm very proud. It's my first attempt at publishing.
Yeah, that's a lot of work, and you did a fantastic job. It's got all full-size templates in there.
Yes, it's even got culling pages down the back for the quilts that you need to. A color placement is important, so you can color in using your own fabrics.
A little bio about everybody, and their photo, and their website. Mm. Oh, my goodness. Well, this is like a good segue now to talk just about fabric a little bit, because I think one of the things that drew me to your quilts, and always does now, but in the beginning when I first started, you know, looking at your quilts, was the fabric choices that you do, because you work very intuitively. You're not afraid of pattern. You just did my globetrotting with the TV fabrics in it. And how do you, first of all, just tell me, how do you collect fabric? I mean, when you go out, do you have a purpose? I mean, I know sometimes we just pick things up, but do you sometimes have a purpose for what you're getting?
I pretend to my husband when I'm buying that I have a purpose for everything. But yes, if I have a project in mind, I will go out and say, this is the amount of fabric I need, and this is the fabric I like. But sometimes I just see a fabric, as we all do, and just say, I know what I can do with that, but I just can't do it now.
So, like, when you saw the TV fabric, and I know, you know, it has 50s TV sets on it, did you then think, I need to get some friends for that fabric? Did you purposely buy a few things to go with it?
No, I have quite a large stash, and I saw that. And I've used the Kaufman charcoal linen for the background in that, and it worked beautifully just to bring out the quirky little images in the Chicly Geek.
Yeah.
Yes.
Then how do you – I know I asked you this privately beforehand, so I know what the answer is, but you're going to share. The sorting of your fabric, because Jane has fabric shrines in her house, so that this cracks me up. How do you – sort your collection?
I have these beautiful glass covers, and I have the Moda shrine, the art gallery shrine, and I have the Jennifer Pagnelli and the Denise Smith, and the and then I have a whole cupboard full of what I call solids, but they can be textured solids or very small prints, tones on tones. So I have a shelf each of the different colours of those. Oh, and I also have the French General shrine, the basket of every collection of French General. And then all my pre-cuts are all stacked beautifully on top of each other, and I've got baskets. And when I do my projects, I have these beautiful big IKEA baskets, and I put the project with the pattern in those and the rulers I need for that, and I just line them up on my cutting desk, because I do 10 things at a time.
Yeah. We do a lot of projects at once. So you keep – will you sort of collect things into a basket for a period of time, or you just kind of do it all at once?
Usually a period of time. I know if I want to do that, I keep adding the fabric to it so I've got the complete, so I don't use that in another one and the availability of it.
Right, because it's not as easy for you to get fabric in Australia, is it, it is here?
I'm naughty. I buy overseas.
Yes.
They've got a wider range, more accessible to the lines I want.
Mm-hmm.
And with the scraps, I try and use every piece of fabric, even if I put it into the backing. But if I've got little bags over, I usually sell them on or give them away.
So the little tiny stuff you don't keep. I don't either. I don't have space for it.
No, it's a space issue.
Yeah. I'm not that type of quilter, and there are types of quilters who love every little tiny bit. Yeah. Now, do you have a sewing group locally, like any of the ladies here from your book live near you that you sew together?
No, unfortunately Australia is a big place.
Yeah.
I do have lovely friends that sew, and we occasionally have these days where we might be making a quilt for someone that's sick or that's going away, and we all get together in one day and we cut and we piece and we sew and we iron and press and we have it all done in one day, and then I put it up on my long arm and get it done. So.
And you use a long arm for all your quilting, pretty much?
Pretty much so. I used to do all hand quilting, then I moved to the machine, and now I do it on the long arm. It's convenience of the long arm rather than...
And are you able to store that in your studio space? Or just,
yes.
Oh,
yes.
So you have a nice big space.
Well, we built in the garage a few years ago, and I put the long arm in there, but I wish I'd extended further. I put the long arm way over there and had more room for my chaos.
Yeah. We all need more room.
We never
have enough room. Do you also collect a lot of threads then?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Love my Aurithil threads, and I'm into cones.
Right.
So I get all that. I love it for long arming and piecing, and even the embroidery threads.
What weight do you use for your machine quilting?
Machine, I always, for piecing 50 weight, and I'm a really 50 weight for quilting.
Okay, so you
my
use
long
a 50.
Arm, yeah. Because I love it to, I like to use contrasting colors, but I don't want them to show up too much.
Right,
just
right.
give that nice little pick of color.
You don't want to be a big feature or anything.
No.
Right.
So I love the 50 weights.
Yeah.
Yes.
Perfect, perfect. Yeah. Now, where can people find you online?
Online, I'm on quiltjane.com.
Perfect.
Yes, and Instagram at Quilt Jane, Twitter at Quilt Jane,
yeah.
and my Facebook page is a bit more complicated. But
you can get to it from,
you can
from
put
your website.
Word, yes, yes.
Yeah. Very good. Jane, I'm so glad to see you again. I mean, every so many years you come to market or every other market or whatever it is. So this has been amazing. Do you have another day or so here in the U.S.?
Yes, got one more day. I stayed on a day, so I might go and see a bit of Houston. I never get to see Houston when I'm here.
Perfect, perfect. Well, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Pat. It's always lovely to see you. I look forward to seeing you once again.
This is American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. We are going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
Looking for fresh, simple, and fun projects and ideas? Check out the current issue of Quilts & More magazine at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
This quilting tip brought to you by Moda Fabrics. Visit modafabrics.com or your local quilt shop to see the latest fabric collections. To maintain consistency when piecing, keep your eye on the spot where the needle enters the fabric, not the needle going up and down.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Keltner, Executive Editor of American Patchwork and Quilting, and I'd like to invite you to join me in making a pillowcase and making a difference. It's easy. Make and donate pillowcases in your local community. Use your favorite pattern or choose from one of the free patterns at allpeoplequilt.com. Whether you sew pillowcases with a group or by yourself, you can help someone less fortunate. You could donate them to a women's shelter, boys or girls club, homeless shelter, veterans home, or any other organization you know of in need. Once you donate the pillowcases, log on to allpeoplequilt.com. Click on the box in the upper right-hand corner for the 1 million pillowcase challenge and enter the number of pillowcases you created to our national tally. We know quilting changes everything, and we're out to show the world just how much quilters care. Please join the American Patchwork and Quilting 1 million pillowcase challenge. We're counting on you.
See what other quilters are up to on the American Patchwork and Quilting page on Facebook. Simply go to Facebook.com and search for APQ Magazine.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. This is Pat Sloan, and I am in Houston at the trade show where I get to talk to all the different designers. And I'm really excited because me and my sister are a team of Mary Jacobson and Barbara Groves, who work together to design fabric for Moda and adorable patterns and other spectacular, cute projects we all have to do. And it's a lot of fun to be able to talk to them in person. So welcome to the show, Mary and Barbara. Welcome back. You've talked to me before.
Hi, Thanks, Pat. It's great to be here. It's always fun to see you again at Quilt Market.
You have a good time.
You have a good time. I know. Mary, I love your necklace.
Oh, thank you.
You have sparkly rainbow stuff on. So
accessorize.
Yes, all matching. Your fabrics are so happy. They're just...
Well, thank you. That's what we strive for.
Yeah, just you want to just, you know, make a really happy quilt with them. I wanted us to talk about your little series that you're doing of templates. So they're smaller, little size packages called Make It Cute.
Making it cute. We just debuted these for the first time last time at International Quilt Market when we were in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, Pittsburgh.
And we did the first one.
And the first one was a flower.
Right. It was
petal
called
pack.
The petal pack.
Yep.
And there's four different petal shapes in the pack with a leaf and a flower center. And they're just fun little things to interchange and work with.
So, Mary, what's a little backstory? How did you come up with these templates to begin with? You know, what was going on in your collective design brain?
Well, just, you know, we used to do the rag quilts and things of that sort. And at one time, way back, we had a line at the very, very beginning, and we had little applique shapes and things like that we used to put in the middle of them and sew them on an applique down. And we were going, what else can we do with these shapes? And then we started using them as a 3D kind of thing and putting them on quilts and accessorizing things. And it kind of just kept snowballing.
Tote bags.
Yeah, tote bags.
Headbands.
Stuff like that. It just was fun things that we used, those shapes that we once used on a rag quilt, in other things.
In other things. So yes. Each package is an image set. So the first one was a flower. Barbara, what are the next two?
We started with the petal pack. Now we have Butterfly Bliss and Heart's Delight. And Heart's Delight has four different heart shapes in it that you can layer. The instructions are in the front of the card. Really simple to do. It's just great fun. We've had a lot of people say that they've tried them with their children, and they love them for their kids' projects, too.
What is the size? Like, Mary, what is the kind of biggest size unit when it's done here?
I'd go with probably a nice good 6-inch scrap.
Okay, so...
Yeah, I mean, you could... probably do it out of a charm, some of the pieces, but a 6-inch scrap is nice for using your leftovers.
Mm-hmm. That's
something to
perfect.
Coordinate with things you've already made. It's wonderful, and just go through that scrap bin and use up some of your stuff, or go with a nice charm or layer cake. It looks nice.
I'd like to explain to people kind of what it is, because, you know, we don't have a picture to show you here,
true,
but if you go to my blog or you go out to Mary and Barbara's site, Me and My Sister Designs, they've got pictures. But there's fabric, and the sample that we're looking at has batting in between. Mm-hmm. Do you always put batting in between?
Right, and that gives it the more 3D puffy look. What we do is we take two pieces of fabric and layer them with a piece of batting and spray it with some fabric adhesive, join them together somehow, press it together. Then you just trace your template on there. We like to use a friction pen because that way, if you're not exactly cutting on the line, when you're finished with your project, you just hit it with warm iron and
it's
all
gone.
Your mistakes are gone.
Those are wonderful. I love that.
Yeah, so it's fun. So you just make your different shapes like that with your little fabric sandwich, cut them out. Use your coordinating threads. We like to use our Aurifil coordinating threads that go with this.
Go with your fabrics and everything.
Go with our fabrics.
Yes.
And we just embellish it with buttons and embroidery floss and just make it fun.
Now, this one here, you used all the sizes. So you have three sizes of hearts?
Actually, there's four. We just mix and match them.
Yeah, you can.
And on the heart, you have some with ruffles. So some of your templates have a ruffle and some don't.
A little scallop edge. Or if you really want more texture, just use some pinking shears. And pink around there and you get even more texture.
Right. Now, have you done them without batting?
If somebody
wanted a flatter look?
Well, you can't. Scrapbookers have been picking them up. And they're using them with paper and making like banners and
cards.
Cards,
they're just a nice shape.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot as applique, like little hearts on the front of little girls' jumpers and things of that sort.
Yeah.
Some really cute things they've done with them.
Yeah.
The butterfly is super cool because I like that they're not all the same butterfly shape.
No.
Yeah, you guys are
they
so
are
clever.
Fun.
You
it
are so
almost
clever.
Makes it a 3D. It makes it pop out a little bit more. It gives it some motion.
Yeah.
Right. And then you can use it for regular appliquing also. Mm-hmm. They're just not limited.
Now, are the templates, they're plastic. Is it something that people, I know that some people like to use starch and Templar type things so they could heat them. Can they heat this plastic?
I wouldn't.
Okay, so these are not that tight, so that's a good thing to know. So,
but I'm a starch girl. I'm with you on starch and stuff.
Yeah. People like to use that to work on things.
Yes.
All right. Well, I know that I participated when you first came out with them in an online tour of our sites, and we each got one package and did cute things with it. What were some of the things people put the first flower one on?
Well, I think the first thing I saw was a tote bag.
A tote bag, just like an embellishment, like in the center or on the side.
Up on the edge.
Up on the edge,
near the handle. We've used them on quilts before.
Yeah.
I've seen headbands. A lot of the shops are the girls in the stores are wearing them on their name tags.
Yeah, a pin on your scarf.
Refrigerator magnet.
Oh, how cute.
Yeah,
how cute.
Blue magnet, hot blue magnet on the back and decorate your sewing room with that.
You could do a garland.
You can. We've seen them done that way.
Oh, how cute.
So the possibilities are endless.
Yeah. Now, you have these at your site and also your people's favorite quilt shops have them.
Yes.
Right.
So, so they can get them all over the place. Well, you designed this cute fabric, which of course we're looking at, but what is in the stores right now for your fabric lines with Moda?
Our newest group in the stores is called Laugh Out Loud, LOL, and we kind of got pegged in this texting thing.
Yeah, we got into texting.
All the prints are named after texting terms, like rolling on the floor, laughing out loud, and BFF. I think they're just fun little texting terms.
Yeah.
And this group was a little different for us. We changed our colors just a little bit.
A little more intense, but it still blends.
Right.
You always need some variety in there. You need something to show a little more movement and depth. So we did a little different colors.
What's one of the colors that is like a little more unique to you for the Laugh Out Loud line?
Oh, the purple.
Oh, see, I would say
I like the purple.
I like the purple. The sick green.
Boy, we are really different. Let's fight over it. Okay, I'll solve it. Pink.
Okay, all right, you win.
That's my favorite color.
There appears to be pink in a lot of your fabric.
Yeah. I went out every now and then. I went out, yes. Darn it.
No, there's a cute story behind the pink. When Mary's daughters were little, she used to make all their clothes.
Yes, to come from garment construction.
Everything they wore was pink. And until they could get old enough to say, no more pink. And to this day, they shiver when they see it.
Yeah, and if there's anything darker than black, they'd be wearing it. I guess I ruined them. I don't know.
They're all serious dressers now.
Yes, they are very.
Yes.
I just call them dull and dreary.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, what is the line that you're showing here to the shops that will be coming next in the store?
Oh, we love our new line. It's called Bandana, and it's just, we like to explain it as intense pastels.
Okay.
And it kind of explains it. It really does.
Yeah.
It's nice.
So you sort of punched up the depth of color to the pastel palette.
Yes.
It's nice.
You have navy in it, or is this?
No, it's just a darker blue. And then we have a darker purple to go there, to help add some punch now and then. Just... contrast.
I love that your patterns, you use a lot of white so that you offset your colors with white.
It makes them so crisp and clean.
It does.
That's what I like. I like the cleanness of it.
Tell me about the two newest patterns that will be coming out.
Well, the first one is called Starlet, and Mary designed that one. She designs, can I say most, or should I just admit it and say all?
I have it on record. Oh, my goodness. Okay. All.
And we had a series of patterns called Little Sister Patterns, and they were smaller projects, and it's years ago. We're talking
many
history. And so with the new little mini projects popping up all over again, we decided to bring our little version of the little sister back. So with each large quilt, we've done the little miniature, smaller quilt to go with it. So you get both in the pattern booklet.
And on the miniature one, is the pattern itself scaled down? Like if it was like a 5-inch square in the main quilt, is it like a 2-inch square version in the mini?
Yes, it doesn't always go correctly, but the math works for the little one. So you can't just go 50% of it. We've done the math for you, and it's all in there.
Right. Yeah, it's not just like one block of the big one. The mini is actually shrunk down. Like you, shrinky dink it.
Shrinky dink. Remember those?
Yeah, I know.
I do remember those. Oh, cool.
Yes. In the oven, but not the fabric
ones. Okay, so they're made out of like, the larger ones are fat quarters, fat eighth, things of that sort. Well, I did the minis out of a 10-inch square, like a layer cake. So they're still pre-cut friendly, but they work down, smaller.
Right. And what's Starlet like?
Starlet has a bunch of half-square triangles. Okay. I like half-square triangles. That's
my favorite.
I love them. But you put these all together and you get other star patterns with it. So it's kind of
like sparkles.
It's blocks sitting there, but you've got some diagonal stars going in it and piece stars, four-corner stars, things of that sort.
And the dandelions is more block-based.
Very block-based, yes.
It's more of a grid work. It's nice for the people who are not as excited about half-square triangles.
Yes, and it uses pretty much all of your fabric, so you're not real wasteful there.
Right. Oh, that's
sometimes
good.
Sometimes I like to do that, because fat quarter is a big piece. So
right.
Let's use it.
Use it all. Use it all up. This is fantastic. I want to give your site in its very proper way so people can find you at meandmysisterdesigns.com.
Yes.
Correct.
And do you do a newsletter or write? You have a blog?
Oh, we have a blog. I love writing on the blog. I try to post at least twice a week.
Okay.
But I'm loving Instagram, and I try to be on there every day.
Yes, yes. You did a fun thing with have people show quilt on a chair.
Oh, we did. We had so much fun with that. And I'm thinking about, as soon as I get back from market and the dust settles a little bit and I have some time, I think I'm going to try it again.
Yeah.
I don't know where that came from. It was just a weird thing. I'm going, why do people take pictures of quilt on chairs? They just do. And we got some really funny ones. Oh, my goodness. And beautiful stories behind the quilts. Stacks, and this was her dining room.
Yeah.
Our whole table was covered with quilts, and all the chairs were. So we're all alike. We're out there. It was fun to watch other people be as obsessive as we are.
As we are.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Barb and Mary. This has been awesome. I love we were near each other this time in the Moda booth, so that's really fun. And I appreciate you coming down to talk and share your new fun thing.
Thank you.
Well, thank you.
This is fun.
All right. See you next market.
See you next market. This is American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. Visit us at allpeoplequilt.com. You can visit my website at patsloan.com.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques. Thanks for listening to